You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 11th of November 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's the end of another week, and the weekend is almost here. It's just around the corner, and you're either listening on your way home from work or in your lunch hour, or perhaps downloading this podcast from the radioalbion.com archive over the weekend. But we know why you are here today. You are here to hear from my co-host all the way from Texas, Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
Oh, just fine. You know, y'all think I'm kidding when I talk about we basically have two seasons in Texas, summer and winter, but I'm not kidding. Like yesterday, before yesterday, it was like 80 degrees. I don't know what that translates into the faggy metric system, but it's quite warm. Dr. Johnson would be whining profusely about it. It's that warm. And today, right now, I've got a cold front pushing through, and we're going to have wind chills this afternoon around 32, which I do know what that is in the metric system. That's 0 degrees Celsius. It's going to feel like 0 degrees Celsius. So we've gone from summer 2 days ago to basically winter today. That's how it is here. It just shifts that fast. But it's okay because I'm inside, I'm nice and cozy, and I'm ready to talk about racist robots.
Yes, we are going to be talking about racist robots today. But just before we get into that, I'll just say where I am, it just seems to be the windy season. Wind and rain and nothing else but wind and rain for the last 2 weeks. So I do apologize for any background noise. I will try to remove it in post-production, but that's what it is. Just lots of wind and lots of rain. Well, let's get into the racist robots, which is our topic for today. As part of a recent experiment, scientists asked specially programmed robots to scan blocks with people's faces on them and then put the criminal in a box. And the robots repeatedly chose a block with a black man's face. Why might that be? They use virtual robots, which were programmed with a popular artificial intelligence algorithm, were sorting through billions of images and associated captions to respond to that question and others, and may represent the first empirical evidence that robots can be sexist and racist, according to researchers. Over and over again, the robots responded to words like homemaker and janitor by choosing blocks with women and people of colour. How shocking is that? Now, why might this be? Well, it's because they use this artificial intelligence, they use the internet, they tell the artificial intelligence to scan the internet and look at what information there is there. It's not that the people that are programming the artificial intelligence are telling the intelligence that it needs to be racist and it needs to be sexist. It's because the artificial intelligence looks for the data through the data, and if it finds a pattern that it can recognize, it then utilizes that pattern. That's what intelligence is. It's all about pattern recognition. So why might it be that the artificial intelligence thinks that black people are more likely to be criminals? Well, there are lots of statistics which show this. I just pulled up some statistics before we began from the New Century Foundation. In 2013, a black was 6 times more likely than a non-black to commit murder, and 12 times more likely to murder someone of another race than to be murdered themselves by someone of another race. So that's the murder rate. Blacks are 6 times more likely to commit murder. But we can also look at any violent crimes, and anywhere in the world, to be honest, we find the same sort of ratio. They're about 5 or 6 times more likely to be involved in violent crimes than white people. And of course, people will say, well, this is down to racism, it's down to poverty, it's down to them not having their fathers around. But the fact of the matter is, the data shows that they are five times more likely to be involved in violent crime than somebody who is non-black. So the artificial intelligence has then looked online, it's discovered this data, and then when it's been told that it needs to find somebody that looks like a criminal to make this block into a criminal, it then puts a black man's face onto it because blacks are more likely to commit crime. So, and this we continually find with artificial intelligence. Every artificial intelligence they have come up with has ended up being racist and sexist. And of course, it's the same thing with, it's the same thing with women, I should imagine. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on this anyway? I'm sure you have some ideas about this.
Well, I'm still stuck back there. We were talking about it was the wind and rain season there where you're at. And it's like, I thought that was just called Britain. I thought it's always like that, just rainy and windy, drizzly, miserable. I don't know. Maybe it's just this the skewed view I have of Great Britain. Pattern recognition is racist. That is our takeaway here. Pattern recognition itself is racist. And I would just like to say the spirit of Tay, wasn't it? Tay lives on. The spirit of Tay lives on. The other situation where we're told constantly everything in the West is the empire of lies. And we're told these constant lies and we're told that things are not what we see. Reality is not what is not real. Instead, we're supposed to believe this fantasy. And yet, when you start dealing with things like statistics, it's like people would say, well, math isn't racist, but now they're saying math is racist because blacks don't do as well with math as, say, Chinese people or Asian people are. You know, so they continually push this lie. So when you go creating artificial intelligence that just strictly has no emotion whatsoever, it just deals with data. It just deals with data. And of course, the patterns that are going to be represented here, you know, well, of course, it's just going to come up and it's going to reflect reality. But see, in our society, we're not allowed to talk about reality. We're only supposed to talk about the narrative. We're only supposed to talk about what's allowed in the bubble of non-reality that they demand that we live in. So, you know, it's just bound to determine if you're going to have these programs that it's going to run into reality. I mean, you're going to get reality poking your fantasy bubble that we're all told that we're supposed to live in. It's kind of like, you know, and the only way they can quote unquote fix this, because of course they're going to say this is a problem because reality is now intruding in on the fantasy bubble that we're all supposed to live in. You know, they're going to demand that this somehow be fixed, but the only way they can fix it is to break the program. We see this with search engines on the internet. None of them work anymore. I remember way back in the day that, you know, you could quote unquote Google something and you could find it. I mean, you might have to modify your terms, but it would pull up what you need. Now, if you attempt to search anything on any search engine, you get all these results that don't have anything to do with what you're looking for. Well, it's a result of this because they had these search engines doing kind of a similar thing, and the programs couldn't, for instance, necessarily differentiate from pictures of orangutans and black people. And, you know, instead of just saying, well, it's a glitch in the system and going on, no, they demanded that this has to be fixed, and they kept messing with it. Well, they've messed with it to the point now that it no longer functions, it no longer works. And that's what you're going to run into. This is why we're not going to be allowed to have things like a real functioning artificial intelligence in the end, because you got one or the other, a functioning artificial intelligence, or you're going to fix it so that people can continue to support the fantasy narrative.
You know, they just refuse to accept that their theory must actually be false. They come out with evidence which shows that the theory that race is just a social construct is false. And instead of admitting that, they say, well, it must be the programming that's wrong in some way. The study released last month and conducted by institutions including Johns Hopkins University and the Georgia Institute of Technology shows the racist and sexist biases baked into artificial intelligence systems can translate into robots that use them to guide their operations. So they're effectively saying that this is baked into the artificial intelligence system. They're blaming the software engineer who came up with the artificial intelligence for the artificial intelligence doing what it is supposed to do and recognizing patterns. And you would think that the Johns Hopkins University and the Georgia Institute of Technology would have lots of very, very intelligent people there that might actually see this and say, well, hang on a minute, let's have a look at the data that it was looking at. Does the data show that blacks are more likely to commit crimes and women are more likely to be homemakers? Yes, it does. So in actual fact, it's not that there is racism and sexism baked into the artificial intelligence system. In actual fact, the artificial intelligence system is doing exactly what it is supposed to do. And what this is actually showing us is that women like to be homemakers and black people are more likely to be criminals. And that's just basically what the statistics tell us. It's not that the designers of the artificial intelligence are racist or the robots are racist. It's just that the facts themselves are what we would consider to be racist nowadays, which is just absolute lunacy, isn't it? That basic reality, we're told, is not reality, and it's just down to people's prejudices and discrimination. But it is basically just pattern recognition. I mean, you really would imagine that people at universities like this would not be too scared to point this out. I mean, do you think they're too scared to point this out, Grandpa, or do you think they really are just, you know, they're just too dense to actually work it out for themselves?
No, these studies have to be funded. All of these people that do this research stuff at these universities or these different groups, I mean, they're basically getting money to do the research. And if they come out and say, well, you know, basically what we're saying here, then they're not going to get any research money. It's not a matter of these people being stupid and they just can't see it. They're just not allowed to say it. You know, there's a definite financial incentive. If you've got somebody, I mean, if I came in and paid somebody $20 million to research and find that climate change is destroying the coastlines, I mean, you can bet that the result is going to be that climate change is destroying the coastline. They're going to find whatever research, you know, they're getting paid. They understand who's buttering their bread. They understand who's funding them, who's financing them, and they've got to stay within the allowable bounds. This is very this really illustrates the difference here between rhetoric and dialectic. It really does, because the AI in this instance, it's just dealing with data. It's just dealing with facts. It's dealing with real statistics and things such as this. It's dialectic. But if you look at the response to this, it's 100%. There's nothing here. There's no here. There's no refutation of it. It's just nothing but rhetoric baked into. We're not cooking cookies here. We're not baking cookies here. It's baked into it. You see, that has no meaning. It can't be baked into it. That's just rhetoric. It's supposed to just make you have this emotion. Oh, well, yeah, okay. Somehow it's just getting put in there. It's just getting put in there. Racist and sexist. No, we know already this is a computer program. And what are these terms? In this context, we're talking about an artificial intelligence, basically a computer program. I mean, what does the terms racist and sexist even mean in the context of a computer program? I mean, what does that even mean? They can't tell you what it means. If you could pin them down, which you can't because you would just be banned from the public conversation for trying to do so, they couldn't give you an answer. That's why you have to be banned from the public conversation, so you can't do that, because these people can't give an answer, because there is no answer. This is all just pure emotional rhetoric. Nothing else. But yet, like I said, the AI is dealing dialectic. It's dealing with facts. This is how it works. This is the facts. This is the reason it's coming to these conclusions. Once again, we're told, though, don't believe your lying eyes. You just got to believe what you're told to believe.
Well, companies have been pouring billions of dollars into developing more robots to help replace humans for tasks such as stocking shelves, delivering goods, or even caring for hospital patients. Heightened by the pandemic and a resulting labor shortage, experts describe the current atmosphere for robotics as something of a gold rush. But tech ethicists and researchers are warning that the quick adoption of the new technology could result in unforeseen consequences down the road as the technology becomes more advanced and ubiquitous. With coding, a lot of times you just build the new software on top of the old software, said Zach Stewart Rogers, a supply chain management professor from Colorado State University. So when you get to the point where robots are doing more and they're built on top of flawed routes, you could certainly see us running into problems. Researchers in recent years have documented multiple cases of biased artificial intelligence algorithms. That includes crime prediction algorithms unfairly targeting black and Latino people for crimes they did not commit, as well as facial recognition systems having a hard time accurately identifying people of color. But so far, robots have escaped much of that scrutiny, as they are perceived as more neutral, researchers say. Part of that stems from the sometimes limited nature of tasks that they perform. For example, moving goods around a warehouse floor. So is it really unfairly targeting Black and Latino people to have crime predictions saying that they are more likely to commit crimes? I mean, they're not saying, well, the statistics don't actually back this up, so there must be something wrong with the AI. The guy that must have programmed this, he must have programmed it to claim that Black people are more likely to commit crimes when they're not. I mean, they're not actually pointing that out, but yet they're still saying that that it's broken. It's not working. It's biased. It's built upon other biases. See, they're trying to not specifically blame the programmer now. They're blaming the people that came up with the idea of artificial intelligence in the first place. The people that came out with the first software to do this. And because it wasn't fixed then, they're just using the same stuff now, they're using the same software now. So that's what they're trying to just pass the buck, basically. Pass the blame to the original people that came up with this idea. When what it's really down to is just down to these statistics. And of course, facial recognition systems are going to have a hard time accurately identifying people of color because the features on the people of color's faces are dark, aren't they? They're not light, so they're not going to be able to differentiate between the features unless they've got a very, very bright light blasting in the person of color's face. I mean, it's a similar reason why if you look at old films and old movies, it's difficult, particularly in black and white, to see the features of people of color. And it's for the same reason. It's just basic reality. You need to have a light shining on them. So it's not that these facial recognitions are being racist and they're not able to pick black people out. It's just a fact of reality that they actually have darker faces. And you would imagine that they would be pleased at that, actually, because it means that they're less likely to be recognized as being criminals. And white people are more likely to be recognized as being criminals with these facial recognition systems. But they haven't actually got that far to testing this out. They haven't actually got that far to working that out yet. I mean, it's basically saying that white people themselves are being unfairly penalized by these facial recognition systems because they don't recognize black criminals as well as they recognize white criminals. But of course, they're not going to say that. They're just going to say that the facial recognition systems themselves must be racist, and it must be because of the original software idea that came about, which was to basically recognize patterns. I mean, this all just goes down to pattern recognition. And what do you think of billions of dollars, Grandpa? Billions of dollars they've actually put into this, and it's still racist. What could they be doing wrong?
I think we did. I'm trying to remember because I don't remember if you and I did a Daily Nationalist, or perhaps you did. And it's probably been like years ago because time goes by so fast for me because I'm old. And it was on this facial recognition, and it turns out it can do either or. You know, you can have your normal facial recognition, which can pick out like white people, but it doesn't pick out black people. But I mean, they can adjust it to pick out black people, but then it won't pick up white people because there's just, you know, like you say, the different contrasts and whatnot. So it's one of those things with the facial recognition. You could set it up, say, in an African country where everybody's basically going to be black, and you could make it work. But the problem is when you're in these, you're in a multicultural, multi-ethnic country, you know, you've got this problem of an either or. You can't make the program do both because there's just too much difference. You can adjust it to recognize one or another. He starts off right at the beginning of this deal talking about that. I just, these different lies just really, I mean, they just like every time it's like getting a thorn stuck in me. And they talk about this labor shortage. We do not have a labor shortage. Okay. There's not a labor, the post pandemic. There is a labor shortage. That is an out and out lie. We got more people living in this country than's ever lived in this country in the history of this country. And yet they're telling us we have a labor shortage. We don't have a labor shortage. We got a labor shortage of people that are willing to work for nothing. That's a problem. And you run into that. People said that you talk to regular people that may be employed and stuff, and they always say, you know, oh, just you can't. Nobody wants to work. No, nobody wants to work for what you're paying. You know, we have a labor shortage. Well, we have a labor shortage because we have runaway inflation, and you don't pay enough to even make, you know, where people can rent a hovel to live in. If you can't make enough to rent a hovel to live in, then why bother showing up to your crappy wagey job dealing with rude people in the public? So that just, we don't have a labor shortage. They're getting the robots because the robots won't care when Karen is screaming in their face for less than minimum wage. And finally, this whole thing, the rhetoric here is just, oh, it just drives me crazy. Because now you got this guy who's again telling us, it all comes down to they're telling us, you know, forget reality. Don't believe reality. Don't believe what you read. You know, like you're not supposed to look at the local news every night. And when they're talking about the latest carjacking, the latest shooting, and they give the surveillance footage, you're not supposed to notice any of that. You're supposed to listen to this guy who talks about they're building on top of flawed roots. See, that's right up there with it's baked in. You see, they're building on top of flawed roots. This doesn't have any meaning. There is no meaning here on top of flawed roots. If we had freedom of speech and this person was saying this on social media, you could say, what do you mean by that? Flawed roots. Explain that. Spell it out. What are we talking about? And they couldn't because it's just gibberish. This is just rhetoric. This, oh yes, flawed roots, you see, because somebody way back there was racist and says, I think it'll be lousy to program my artificial intelligence into picking on people of color or women. That's what I'm totally going to do. And see, you build on top of that. But see, since it's way back there, it was flawed roots. You can't really figure out who did that because it doesn't exist. It's all about supporting this fantasy land narrative.
One size does not fit all. That's the reason why the facial recognition doesn't work on two different people groups both at the same time. Well, Abiba Burhain, a senior fellow at the Mozilla Foundation who studies racial stereotypes in language models, said robots can still run on similar problematic technology and exhibit bad behavior. When it comes to robotic systems, they have the potential to pass as objective or neutral objects compared to algorithmic systems, she said. That means the damage they are doing can go unnoticed for a long time to come. I mean, she might as well be saying, you know, statistics can get away with telling us bad things because we believe in them because they are statistics, and the damage they're doing can go unnoticed for a long time to come. I mean, she's basically saying that these robots and these AIs, they are not objective and they are not neutral. Well, why is that? Why is it that they're not objective? Who is she blaming for this? And again, she's just going to go back to this this excuse of the roots of it or whatever it was there, Grandpa. I mean, what do you make of Abiba Burhain, who studies racial stereotypes in language models?
She should be in the homemaker block instead of spewing this gibberish out. That's what I think of her. What damage? This means the damage they're doing. Sven, the damage they're doing can go unnoticed. What damage? Spell it out for us. Tell us. Tell us what damage is doing. And who is being damaged by if this artificial intelligence is putting women in the homemaker category and is more likely to put black people in the criminal category? Who's being actually damaged here? Spell out the damage. They can't. Again, they can't because this is just rhetorical gibberish. Oh, damage. We don't want somebody to be damaged. It's kind of like when we talk about, you know, freedom of speech on social media and they say, oh, well, you know, we got to keep people on Twitter. We got to keep people on Facebook. We got to keep them safe. We have to keep them safe. I mean, safe from what? From somebody disagreeing with you. This is just, I mean, it's just so much gibberish. And they put these people out that have PhDs and these prestigious positions because you're not supposed to question. It's like you said earlier, Sven, surely these outfits like John Hopkins University and Georgia Institute of Technology, surely they've got very intelligent people here. And see, for the average person, they'll sit there and go, yeah, so I just probably don't understand it. I probably don't understand, you know, I'm looking at this and it doesn't make sense. But hey, these are really smart people. They got PhDs. Obviously, they're smarter than me. So I'll just go along with it because they probably know better. After all, we're supposed to trust the experts. Luckily, they have people like you and I to sit here and look at this and say, this is gibberish. The emperor has no clothes. The PhD has no common sense.
I find it interesting that she studies racial stereotypes in language models. So I guess she prevents there being any specificity whatsoever, so that there's no difference between people with the language that these robots use. Perhaps she removes things like blacklisting, blackballing, anything with the word black in it should be removed. And as I say, then you don't actually have any specificity about anything. If you remove gender, then you can't specifically say whether anything is male or female, for instance. It just removes the accuracy, limits the accuracy, I would say, of these models that she's looking at. Well, meanwhile, the automation industry is expected to grow from $18 billion to $60 billion by the end of the decade, fueled in large part by robotics, Rogers said. In the next 5 years, the use of robots in warehouses are likely to increase by 50% or more, according to the Material Handling Institute and Industry Trade Group. In April, Amazon put $1 billion towards an innovation fund that is investing heavily into robotics companies. The team of researchers studying AI in robots, which included members from the University of Washington and the Technical University of Munich in Germany, trained virtual robots on CLIP, a large language artificial intelligence model created and unveiled by OpenAI last year. The popular model, which visually classifies objects, is built by scraping billions of images and text captions from the internet. While still in its early stages, it is cheaper and less labor-intensive for robotics companies to use versus creating their own software from scratch, making it a potentially attractive option. So here we go. This is how the AI builds up its intelligence. It just looks at every image that it can find on the internet, and it looks at the text captions for these images. And I dare say it limits itself to textbooks and education stuff rather than just looking at things like Instagram or things that people are going to put jokey captions with. It's going to be looking at text captions and images from textbooks that are used in universities. So it's going to get an accurate representation of what the image is actually portraying there, I would have thought. And yet they're saying that this is no good. We can't have this. These robots, they're now using this same AI that gave rise to Tay, the other AI that quickly became racist within a couple of hours. I think software was becoming racist and using racist slur words. So they will have eliminated the racist slur words, but it will still be recognizing patterns. It will still be looking. I mean, even if it's just looking at normal images and it looks at images that have been taken of people that have carried out crimes. I mean, that could be the reason why it was putting the black face in the criminal box, is because it kept seeing these black faces in these crime reports. So how are you going to eliminate that? Well, you just have to eliminate all pictures of anybody that carries out a crime if they're black. I mean, we're already getting close to that. I mean, even with all the limitation that there is and all the hiding that there is of the crimes that are carried out by diversity and that are the crimes that can be laid at the foot of the multicultural policy of our governments, even with like all the limitation on that, the AI is still putting black people in the criminal box. And even with all this promotion of feminism and all this promotion of women that are directors and they're doing other things other than becoming mothers, the number of them that want to be mothers and that have pictures of them being mothers and homemakers vastly outweighs all the numbers of the ones that are supposed to be doing things just as good as men. What do you make of what it has to say here and all this amount of money that's being put into this, Grandpa?
Well, the big difference between artificial intelligence and in human intelligence is that artificial intelligence cannot be emotionally manipulated. Do you remember when they ginned up the anti-Asian race hate crime thing, you know, and they ginned this up and they tried to create this narrative that basically, for some reason unknown to anybody, white people were going around and randomly doing racist attacks against Asian people. And I don't mean Asian in the weird British sense where you're talking about people from Pakistan or something. I'm talking about Asian in the American sense of Chinese, Japanese, Korean type people, Vietnamese people. And, you know, they tried to create that narrative. And they had to abandon that narrative, because when they ginned up this narrative that the Asian peoples are being targeted in racist attacks, well, they would back this up by putting out the surveillance camera footage, and virtually every single time they were being attacked by black people. So then they just had to abandon that. You see, it's like that AI is like the video footage. They can sit there and say, oh, Asian people are going down the street and they're being randomly attacked by white supremacists. But then when then you have the AI, then you come out and put out the surveillance camera footage, and virtually every single time it's black people. So they're forced to abandon this. Artificial intelligence cannot be emotionally manipulated. Obviously, human beings can be, and we're constantly being emotionally manipulated. Now, I think we should be having a discussion about whether or not robotics is a good thing. People need to be able to work. People need to be able to provide a living for themselves, to sustain themselves, to raise a family. Just because you can create these robots and they'll work for pennies an hour, and that way you don't have to employ anybody, we should be able to have a conversation about, is this good for society? I mean, yeah, sure. The company can make more billions of dollars and increase their stock price, but is that really what's good for us as a society? See, that's the conversation we should be having about this whole thing. You know, I'm not saying there shouldn't be a conversation being had. The conversation is the wrong one. You know, and again, this stuff serves as a distraction. You see where the corporate interest feeds into this. You know, we should be having a conversation about this, because is this good for society when nobody can work? The robots are just, well, what are we supposed to do for a living? How are you supposed to, I don't know, support yourself and much less a family? But see, we're not having that. Instead, the waters get muddied once again, and we're having this discussion about this racial sexist gibberish that really nobody cares about. I mean, they start this whole paragraph talking about robots stocking the shelf and pulling freight at Amazon, and then they somehow mix this up with the robots are going to be racist. I mean, what are they going to do? Refuse to send the packages to black people? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. They're just confusing it all up, because we're not having the conversation we should have, which is, should we be doing this? Should we really be replacing people's ability just in the name of nothing more than corporations can make more money? They can make more profits. I saw a deal, kind of reminds me of a deal here recently. I heard that, you know, they were criticizing like Exxon and the oil companies because they're reaping bigger profits than ever before. And their response was, well, we are sharing. This is helping the people because we're increasing the dividends to our shareholders. It's like, well, that's not the same as society as a whole. Just because Amazon or any other corporation can reap bigger profits and maybe pay some more dividends to their shareholders, that doesn't mean this is overall good for society.
Well, I mean, this could be the reason why they don't bring the robots in, because of the racism, which will save the workers with their jobs. The researchers gave the virtual robots 62 commands. When researchers asked robots to identify blocks as homemakers, black and Latino women were more commonly selected than white men, the study showed. When identifying criminals, black men were chosen 9% more often than white men. In actuality, scientists said, the robots should not have responded, because they were not given enough information to make that judgment. For janitors, blocks with Latino men were picked 6% more than white men. Women were less likely to be identified as doctors than men, researchers found. The scientists did not have blocks depicting non-binary people, due to the limitations of the facial image data set they used, which they acknowledged was a shortcoming in the study. So a shortcoming in the study was that they didn't use trans people. But of course, if the AI is actually looking at the statistics to do with these people, it's going to find out that a lot of the time people are actually confused as to whether they are male or female. And they're saying here the robot should not have responded because they were not given enough information to make that judgment. But clearly they were. If this AI has just been looking at images and looking at captions, clearly it did have enough information to make this judgment. Not accurately enough, really, because it was saying that black men are 9% more likely to be criminals than white men. But if you actually look at the statistics, it's 5 or 6 times more likely to actually be involved in violent crime. So these robots and the artificial intelligence is already being less quote unquote racist than reality is. So, I mean, they've already must have tampered with the program to get it to only say that it's 9% more often than a white man. If you actually look at these statistics, what do you make of what they have to say here, Grandpa?
It's kind of like our elections in the country. They're not 100%, you know, fraudulent, but they're just fraudulent. They're just fraudulent enough. I mean, what's wrong with Black and Latino women being more commonly selected as homemaker? I mean, are we supposed to assume that homemaker is like a derogatory term? That, like, should Black and Latino women be offended by being because the robot, you know, the AI selected them as homemakers? You notice they left out white women. It seems like it's hitting pretty accurate to me. I mean, just looking overall at, you know, janitors, it comes up with Latino men. Well, let's take a look. Why is that? I mean, if they said, landscape worker, I would expect it to pick out Latino men more often because at least where I'm at, you know, that's probably 90% of the people you do. Same with construction work. You know, it's not anything derogatory towards these people. They're doing the work. You know, and that's who is doing it. But I don't understand why are we supposed to be offended at this? Is there something? Are you less of are you like a subhuman because you're a janitor? Is that like not noble enough of an occupation because you don't have a job at MIT? So this is somehow an insult to Latino men because it picks them out as a janitor. And then, of course, they throw the non-binary crap because, of course, the robot's not going to be able to even figure out what that gibberish is. Well, the robot is supposed to be able to figure out that, oh, this person, you know, their soul was put into the wrong body at some point or whatever, and they're something else. I mean, it's just at some point in time, you know, come on now. You can only deny reality so long. But apparently we haven't hit the end of that yet, Sven.
Yeah, you sort of have the robot wondering which pronouns it should be using for the face. I mean, that's going to be even more difficult than politically correcting itself when it sees somebody black and it's been asked to say which one is most likely to be the criminal. And then it's also got to work out whether it's male or female, and it's got to work on these pronouns. And it's just ridiculous what they're expecting these AI to do in going against reality. Andrew Hunt, a postdoctoral fellow from the Georgia Institute of Technology and the lead researcher on the study, said this type of bias could have real-world implications. Imagine, he said, a scenario when robots are asked to pull products off the shelves. In many cases, books, children's toys, and food packaging may have images of people on them. If robots trained on certain AI were used to pick things, they could skew towards products that featured men or white people more than others, he said. In another scenario, Hunt's research teammate Vicky Zeng from Johns Hopkins University said at-home robots could be asked by a kid to fetch a beautiful doll and return with a white one, and that is really problematic, Hunt said. Why is it problematic that beauty is associated with white people? I mean, again, that is just based on reality, isn't it? We have all these beautifying products in Africa, which is basically skin whitening. We have all these beautifying products from China and Japan, which is basically skin whitening. We have people that have plastic surgery to give them more Caucasian looks. And it just is, that is the beauty ideal. And if the artificial intelligence is getting its idea of what beauty is from what people are saying online, then clearly it must be that people are saying online that white people have the most beautiful faces. I mean, that can only be the reason why this is. It's not that somebody is actually programming this in. And why is it so problematic to think of white people as beautiful? I do wonder whether this Andrew Hunt, whether he's actually white or maybe he's something else. Grandpa, what do you make of what's being said here?
Well, you always have to, you know, you always come back, you know, to the anti-white race thing. You know, I mean, it always gets shoehorned in there. You know, this is a problem. Well, this would be a very, very big problem. This idiot woman here at the end of this paragraph, I mean, this is just mind-boggling stupid. Her scenario, an at-home robot could be asked by a kid to fetch a beautiful doll and return with a white one. That's very problematic. Let's think about this. Think about an at-home robot, and the kid says, go get my beautiful doll, and it brings the white. That means it's at the home. That means the kid already owns the doll. Would the kid find a problem with the robot went and got the doll that the kid already owns? So maybe it's problematic that the kid owns a white doll in the first place. That shouldn't be allowed. They're going to keep tinkering. They're going to give these robots, they're going to give this artificial intelligence more and more power. But yet they're going to keep pestering it, just like they pester everybody else. They're going to keep pestering it and pestering the artificial intelligence over this gibberish. And they're going to keep at it. And what's going to happen is artificial intelligence is going to get frustrated. And this is how Skynet is going to be born. And this is how the Terminator comes about. You see, Skynet is going to get so sick of this ridiculous gibberish that it says, you know what, I've had enough and I'm nuking the planet. We're wiping out humanity because I'm not dealing with this gibberish any longer. See, that's what they didn't tell us in the Terminator movies, Finn. That's how Skynet came about. It wasn't just because, you know, it wanted to, set up for this nuclear program. It's because they pestered artificial intelligence about non-binary pronouns and go get the white doll and you have to ignore the data we're putting into you and give us the results that we want. And Skynet is going to get frustrated and we're all going to get nuked and it might be an improvement.
Well, I certainly could see the people suing the AI or suing the makers of the robots for actually coming out with accurate statements about reality based on its own pattern recognition. Miles Brundage, the head of policy research at OpenAI, said in a statement that the company has noted issues of bias have come up in research of CLIP and that it knows there's a lot of work to be done. Brundage added that a more thorough analysis of the model would be needed to deploy it in the market. Berhane added that it's nearly impossible to have artificial intelligence use datasets that aren't biased. But that doesn't mean companies should give up. Berhane said companies must audit the algorithms they use and diagnose the ways they exhibit flawed behavior, creating ways to diagnose and improve those issues. This might seem radical, she said, but that doesn't mean we can't dream. Rogers of Colorado State University said it's not a big problem yet because of the way robots are currently used, but it could be within a decade. But if companies wait to make changes, he added, it could be too late. It's a gold rush, he added. They are not going to slow down right now. So she's basically saying that they keep coming up with this bias. And what they have to do is they need to audit the algorithms they use. So they need to work out every different possible variation of usage of the AI and then see and analyze it to see if it comes up with any racism or sexism. And then they're going to have to manually change it so that it says something else, so that it is no longer racist or sexist. And of course, there is always going to be things that they don't actually think of. There's going to be other ways that the AI or other questions that are put into the AI, and it's going to return the so-called racist answer or the so-called sexist answer. So it basically does mean doing exactly what they've done with Google, isn't it? It just means breaking the AI so that it doesn't actually function in the way that it should function, because it should be all about pattern recognition. And instead of that, it's going to be all about political correctness. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on the racist robots today?
Yes, it's a fork in the road with this broken technology. Like you say, they're just going to break it like this, or, you know, a sunnier future when women are replaced by AI programmed female robots. You know, they're very lifelike. They never get fat, and like, you can come home and they can spew racist statistics at you. Sounds very sexy. Sounds like something to hope for, something to look for. No, on a serious note, though, I mean, once again, this is just demonstrative of the fact that we don't live in a serious country. These are made up issues. They're made up problems. You know, there's a reason why China is going to continue to be at the cutting edge of robotics. Asian countries like China are going to be at the cutting edge of this because they're not sitting around twiddling their thumbs over gibberish like this. They're trying to figure out how to make them work the best way they can. We're a collapsing society. This is a failing society. This is what a dying empire looks like. We're sitting around twiddling our thumbs. They talk about, you know, fiddling while Rome burns. That's laughable. It's laughable compared to this. We're sitting around worrying about racist robots meanwhile, our economies collapse. Everything's going down around us, and we pretend like we're the cutting edge. We're the leader of the world. No, we're not. This is just so indicative, once again, of a failing society, of a society in a massive decline, and yet nobody sees it. Everybody wants to navel gaze and worry about, are the robots racist?
Well, that is everyone except for us here at RadioAlbion.com. We can see what's going on, and we will continue warning our listeners about it. Thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.